Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out before we begin to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout-out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine. So a huge thank you to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neil Royal, Nick S, Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Coach J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGinQuarantine for more information. And I'd like to give another huge shout-out to the fact that you can buy your own custom MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at inkedgaming.com. That's I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Got a couple awesome versions of the logo over there, the color version as well as the grayscale version, so definitely check that out. You can find the links to both the playmats as well as my affiliate link over at Inked Gaming. That is I-N-K-E-D gaming.com. Check out MTG in Quarantine. They make great products. I highly recommend them. And, again, definitely check that out if you have the time. As some of you may be aware, I have recently gotten into the cosplaying sphere, which obviously is me costuming as a character from the Magic the Gathering lore. And it's been really awesome thus far to the couple of events I've been to, and I thought it was about the right time here to bring an expert in this field on to talk about all things cosplaying. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to the show streamer and cosplay aficionado ZBex. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today.
No problem. Obviously, we've been talking about this for a couple of months. I'm glad we were finally able to get schedules to work out.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. So yeah, before we begin, could you give the listeners out there a quick shout out to all your social links?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm ZBex. I'm a professional cosplayer and gamer. You can follow me on any social media platform at ZBex, Z-B-E-X-X. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, basically anywhere you might post something, I'm there. So check me out for learning content on magic, cosplay, and just other funny things and things I enjoy.
For sure. And all of those links will be included in the episode description for everyone to check out, hopefully either during this episode or right after the episodes. Yeah, definitely check that out if you're interested. So,
and it's very easy, just zbex.art. You can find all of the links.
Wow, that is super simple. I love that. Yeah, I love the fact that a lot of these links, like Linktree too, which is where all my content is, it's super simple to just say linktree.com, right? It's just... it's so easy. I really love these custom URLs. It's great.
Me too.
All right. So, today's conversation, we're going to go over a couple of general categories here. And we're going to basically wrap up, hopefully, with some tips and tricks for anyone out there who is interested in learning more about getting into the cosplay sphere. So, without further ado, I'd like to get us started on Module 1 here. And I'm going to ask you the first question to get us started here. How exactly did you get your start in cosplaying? Obviously, you're very established in this community by now, but I'm really curious to know how you created your first costume and just got interested in this in general.
I created my first cosplay, which at the time I did not know it was called cosplaying, but I created my first cosplay for Magic. So I was new to Magic. I had been playing for about 3 months and was attending a large event. And Innistrad, the first Innistrad, had just come out, and I saw Liliana of the Veil plastered on the game store window. And definitely that was somebody I wanted to cosplay and look like. And if I dressed like her, I knew I could fit in at the event, even if I couldn't ask what was going on at the matches because it was a competitive level event. So I got a purple dress that I already owned, and it's just a cocktail dress. It does not look anything like Liliana's dress. And I wore a black wig, and it's not to my standards today, but I think that's important to remember that just starting and doing it is actually how I got into cosplay, and look where I am now.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's a common theme in starting cosplay, especially on my own journey about really getting into that part of the hobby, is that you have to have the interest first and foremost, and then second, you have to basically not be afraid of, not having the best costume. Obviously, we all started somewhere, and the fact that you state your own interest, I think, is goal number one in this part of the hobby, really.
Yeah, and it made me feel included. And from there, when I had fun attending my first event in Liliana, I was able to realize I have all of these sewing skills from growing up with my mom being a seamstress, and I could make my own costumes. I already had my own sewing machine at this point that my parents had got me for Christmas a few years prior. So that was where my cosplay journey really began, was because of my interest in magic.
That's really awesome to hear. I pretty much have the same story as that cosplay got, or I got into cosplay recently because of magic. Because when, obviously, in the before times, before COVID, back in, yesteryear, 20 years ago, that's what it feels like, back in 2019, I went to a couple of events when I was first getting started. And I guess at the time I didn't really understand. It's like, hey, cosplaying is really cool. It was one of those things, like, I don't know, is that for me? Would I fit in? And it wasn't really until about 2021, so last year at this point, where I started to realize, those costumers at the conventions that I went to back in 2019 look like they're having an awful lot of fun. And eventually when conventions come back, I would like to be in costume and give it a whirl myself. So it's just really cool how we were both able to utilize this vehicle of Magic the Gathering, excuse me, to be able to really step into this new universe, I guess, of the hobby.
I absolutely love that you have a similar story to me, and the fact that it's something that, even if you don't think it's for you, cosplay is for everyone. Remember that. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not for you. But even if you don't play well in the event, you're still getting to show off your costume. You might have friends there who are also in costume. It's just a cool way to be at an event.
Yeah, it looks like an awful lot of fun, and the couple of times I've been to an event with the said costume, which I can talk a little bit more about later in the episode, had a lot of fun, gotten pictures with the store employees and all that. People just really wanted to have their picture with me for some reason. So it felt really good to kind of, just be that person who showed up in the themed costume, because it's really cool. And yeah, for anyone out there, this will be the first time, or the second, third, fourth time, whatever, on this episode that we're going to tell you, if you're too afraid to try cosplay, don't be, because it's really fun and you should give it a try.
Absolutely.
All right, so now that we talked a little bit about how you got into cosplaying, let's fast forward to where we are now in 2022. And what would you consider to be some of your favorites, or maybe your favorite period, current cosplay that you do? And these don't necessarily have to be magic specific. I know that you do a lot of other cosplay projects, and I'm just curious to know if you have one favorite or you just kind of have multiple favorites.
I definitely have multiple favorites because some of the cosplays incorporate sewing skills and others incorporate armor making skills. And even some of the sewing is definitely where I specialize in cosplay and I excel. And some of the sewing projects have been so vastly different with the materials that I'm working with, the patterns that I'm using, or patterns I'm not using in making my own. And so I'd say one of my favorites is Force of Will, because I just recently made it and I had a lot of challenges with it and I learned a lot about it. Making a jumpsuit fitting your body, even if you're working off of patterns are already not made to fit everybody perfectly. And I did adjust the pattern. I adjusted it 2 times before going to make my final one and then still had to make another one.
Is
But
this
so I'm
the excuse me, is this the new Force of Will art that just came out recently?
Yes, this is
Okay.
the Scott Fisher Force of Will from the Double Masters VIP art beautiful blonde-haired girl who kind of looked like me with a blue jumpsuit and waves crashing around her on the hull of a ship.
It's a really nice piece of art for anyone out there who hasn't seen the new art, Force of Will. It definitely some really nice art on a really good card.
Yeah, so that one I still have some rhinestoning to finish, to add to. I sh did take it to Vegas in 2021 and photographed it, but I want to add more. So these always, you can always do more. And one of my other favorites is Sarah the Benevolent, because she has armor, sewing, painting, all sorts of everything wrapped in together, and I don't have to wear a wig with her, which is really nice. Neither of those. I like that. Not having to wear a wig.
Yeah, that actually sounds really, really easy. Because the fewer costume pieces you need, the better. Like mine involves a very large hat, so it makes makes traveling
Handy.
it makes traveling so much more difficult, as I'm finding out.
Yes, wings, as cool as they are, the larger they are, the harder they are to travel and to walk down hallways in.
Yeah, I seem to recall one convention. Again, I can't remember which one it was that had like a wing policy, as in basically if you can fit your wings through the door frame, it's probably fine, but if not, maybe not the right costume to wear that day. So
Yeah,
just
it's a real expectation that you need to set for yourself if you're planning to travel and do cosplay.
Yeah, it's something I'm going through right now for a convention that, again, we'll give a quick shout out to at the end of the episode. But
Okay.
anyway, third question I have for you is kind of a two-part question here. So I'll get started with part one. I know we've touched on this already, but what do you enjoy specifically about cosplaying? And then the second part of the question are some cool stories you have about cosplaying from the over the years.
My favorite part of cosplaying is getting to mix all of my passions together. I never would have imagined that my sewing skills and my dance background would help add to my performance in public or my modeling and photography. Just everything that I do, I get to do that I love. I always just made one costume a year before I ever considered myself doing it professionally. And it's just always been something I've enjoyed, showing my creative side and getting to share it with other people who also are just as creative. I think that's so beautiful because we could walk in the exact same character and I would go bonanza over what you've got going on and probably want to get a double selfie of us, maybe even do like the Spider-Man meme. But like it's just because I know that that person, whether they bought it, they spent money into it. Whether they made it, they spent time into it. Whatever it is, it's like you put an effort in to show up. So respect. It's just like, I don't think there's a lot of other hobbies where I've found so many people that truly just like doing what they do.
For sure, for sure. And yeah. Again, just going off that same question, do you have any really cool stories you really want to share about your cosplaying journey? Any really cool convention interactions or just, community events, et cetera?
Sure. So I'll share two. One of my favorite moments from 2021 was cosplaying as Thalia and getting to be in a commander pod with Post Malone. What? At the Break X event down in California with Cassius Marsh. He invited me down there as one of the VIPs to be there to play with other people. So that was a cool moment for me, getting to be around other real celebrities that do more than just play games. So that was just, kind of a nice moment. And one of my other most favorite moments, is pretty chaotic. Have you seen my Galia of the Endless Dance cosplay?
Maybe. I've seen a lot of your cosplay costumes, but I'm not sure if I've seen all of them. So I'll just say a firm maybe.
So, attending the last event before the pandemic hit in Phoenix of 2020, I had scrapped together Galia in a couple of days. I was gonna do a gender bent calyx, but I couldn't find fabric, and finally Galia just spoke to me because I have a dance background. Like, what? Duh. Mm-hmm. So I was so in character. I was jumping around the whole event center. I was woo girling. I had my phone playing techno music, and I had it in my backpack just playing that. So I was jumping around, fist pumping with my staff that had the wine goblet attached to it on the end. I was so loud that several things came to me throughout the day. By things, I mean people saying, like, LSV and Marshall Sutcliffe saying, oh yeah, you were so loud that we had people in chat asking what's going on back there. I had judges, because the pro level tournament was happening at the same time as the Grand Prix competitive level event. They're like, you need to stay on the other half of the room because you're distracting players.
Wow.
So, achievement unlocked. Galia of the Endless Dance created as much chaos as you can see in the art of her card. So that's probably one of my favorite moments.
That sounds amazing. That is the most gruel thing ever. I'm not going to lie. That is so perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish I'd seen that. That would have been something.
If you see me at an event, I usually have at least a little something to say in character. Sometimes not as hardcore as Galia, but she's really fun and easy to just be off the wall on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, especially from the art there, giving another satyr basically a noogie in the art there. You can't do anything better than that. Come on.
Yeah, and I had a banana that I got from breakfast that I was carrying around with me all day. It was very not happy by the end of the day, but it made for great photos.
Oh man, what a prop. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Oh man. Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about your cosplay background and some of the costumes you've worked on, you did touch on this a few minutes ago, and I think one of the major barriers for entry to cosplaying, even if it doesn't really exist, I would say, is the thought that if you don't necessarily have the right craft skills, let's say, that you can't be a cosplayer. And I know you touched on this a minute ago, but can you kind of go into who can be a cosplayer and just kind of how to break down some of those obstacles or barriers to entry to this part of the hobby?
So first off, anybody can be a cosplayer. Don't let any part of your mind or anybody else tell you can't, whether it's your age, your weight, your race, whatever. I don't care. Throw all that out the window. You can be whoever you want to be. That's the cool part of cosplay. Now, barriers to entry, money can definitely be one thing, because a lot of these tools that you might want to buy to help you craft easier can be expensive. And maybe you don't have the skills and don't know where to start. So maybe just the know-how is your barrier. But there's a lot of really fun and easy ways to start. You could start with closet cosplay. Try saying that 3 times fast.
Yeah.
Where closet cosplay. Anyway, look in your cosplay. I can't even say it now.
In your closet cosplay. There we go.
Yes. So take a look in your closet and say you wanted to dress like Jace, the memory sculptor. Do you have a blue hoodie, a blue t-shirt, anything blue? Then put it on, and that's cosplaying. So just know that it doesn't have to be like my literally wore a purple dress that I had at first. That literally, I wore that to an event and called it good. I was happy with that. So don't let your doubts get in the way. There's lots of YouTube tutorials. You can Google at just about anything these days, and somebody has made it and made a YouTube, a TikTok, written a blog about it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's also perfectly A-okay to buy the pieces you need specifically. Like my costume, I don't have any crafting skills. I needed help with the one or two things that really needed that as part of my Tireless Tracker costume, which, again, if people are interested, you can check that out over my Instagram page. Again, all the links are in my link tree in the episode description. But yeah, most of the pieces there, I just bought off various websites because they just looked right, I guess, and ultimately the costume just came together. Obviously, there's a little bit of a monetary aspect to that. So, I mean, again, that is might be a barrier for some of the listeners out there, but yes, you know, even I
Perfect.
myself with no craft skills to speak of could still put together a decent costume that still kind of looks like the card art.
And just buying your costume is totally acceptable. If you are able to find pieces that look exactly like it online and you can afford it, great, good for you. Check out secondhand stores if you cannot. Even if you can, check them out. You can often recycle fashion. And whether you're going to use the material for fabric or whether you're just going to wear the garment and maybe it looks exactly like your character. There's a lot of really fun ways that you can make it work.
Yeah, a couple of the secrets that for my cosplay in particular is, you know, I got a kind of an old brown flannel shirt instead of a jacket. I mean, it is a jacket in there in the card art if you look closely enough. But you know, I used a brown flannel shirt and it looks just fine, and some not really cargo pants, but you kind of get where I'm going with that. It's just some basic things you can easily pick up anywhere. And then you can put the rest of the pieces on around it, and no one will know the difference. That's the real key here, is you don't always have to have the right thing. Sometimes it's
Well,
best to just find something that kind of works for you and just go with it.
are you comfortable in that cosplay?
I mean, fairly comfortable. It's easy to sit down.
I love that. I think that if you were in a heavier jacket, sometimes you need to account where you're going to be. Like indoors is fine, but if you were to wear a flannel jacket to an outdoor, like to an LA con in the summer when it's baking degrees, then it's something to consider too. And so maybe that, alternative choice that you found worked out even better for things you didn't even think of.
Oh, it totally does. It also makes sure that I don't fry when I'm in the costume inside playing at a magic event.
Very important to consider your own well-being when you're putting any cosplay together. Make sure that you're going to be comfortable in it, that you can function in it, stand and sit. Just as a side note, don't do anything crazy where you can't walk.
Yeah, that I think that's really good advice for just general life too, but yeah, especially for cosplaying. I mean, I back in the day I was around a lot of Star Wars cosplayers way back in the day, and that was one of the big things that they were always harping on, especially those who had full masks or helmets, et cetera, is that being comfortable is the number one focus here. Is that yes, we want it to look authentic, but we also just want to make sure that we don't, you know, have heat exhaustion because we're in this costume for 3, 4 hours. So yeah, it's really important to make sure that you take your comfort into account before, honestly, before you even start that first part of the cosplay. You want to make sure that you are going to be able to move around, walk around, et cetera, as we just said, to make sure that you enjoy your time in costume.
Yes. And it's kind of funny that you mention wearing masks because I feel like now, hopefully, if you are wanting to get into cosplay, since we have had to wear masks over the portion of the past few years, or at sometimes, you will think about then being in a mask for cosplay that is less breathable than fabric. You will really think about that before wearing a mask all day.
Oh yeah, for sure. Again, I do wear a balaclava over my face as part of my own costume. I think it looks really cool. And again, yeah, after a couple hours, especially when I'm wearing another face mask underneath that for the COVID situation, it can get somewhat intolerable after a while. So yeah, that comfort is key here. Just make sure that you put your costume together in a way that you are comfortable and you can hopefully enjoy experiences without feeling like you're broiling in your own costume.
Yeah, guarantee that you have a good time.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, that's really why we're here, is to have a good time with cosplaying.
Right? So don't set yourself up for failure. Try to think about if you can wear it, if you can test wear it before the event.
And that's very important, is if you don't try it out ahead of time, you may not be able to survive a full day at a con, let's say, without, either a major wardrobe change or just some other thing might come up. Yeah, it's important to make sure that you're comfortable with your costume before you take it out. But again, that's not to say you need to have extensive experience with it. Just put your costume together, see how it feels, and go from there.
Exactly.
All right. So I think that takes care of most of the things I wanted to talk about on this episode. So really, the last question I have here for you is, again, we've talked about this, and you've especially talked about this already on many occasions, but do you have any other tips for anyone out there, anyone in the audience who is really interested in starting in cosplay, but, again, doesn't quite know where to start? Obviously, we've talked about the resources, talked about, just online communities about this. We've talked about getting over the barriers to entry. Are there any other tips you have for a prospective cosplayer out there that you feel really should be addressed?
Sure. With things opening back up, you should take a look at resources in your area. For example, I know the public library in my area has a 3D printer. It's not very large, but if you provide your own filament, then you can print things on it. I also know that you can look around for things called makers spaces. They're like a community center where you might pay X dollars a month, and then you can go and use all of the equipment or the space there to work. If, say, you don't have a space at your house where you can spread out or where you can paint things that might have toxic fumes, you know, whatever, having that space or tools like hardware tools, sewing machines, I don't know, things that would be handy, which I don't have the experience of using, which is why I don't go to a makerspace. I know there's actually one in my area, and so those are things that are in larger and smaller communities. And then also some stores, like possibly Joann's, but I know some smaller mom and pop shops too. If you're really needing help with someone in person and like the internet sources aren't really helping you and you don't have anyone, you can always go in and ask and see if they have any ideas. I know sometimes they'll offer classes, and a lot of times when I'm just getting fabric at the counter, I'll be like, what do you think about this? Let me bounce this idea off you. And it's good just to get someone else's perspective who hasn't been worrying about getting started in cosplay, even if it's just where's the sewing machine section? Where's the needle and thread section? If you're going to sew by hand, you know, whatever, you can do it. I believe in you.
And that is really good advice right there. Is we're going to keep harping on this point that anyone can cosplay. You just need the desire and the will to try something new. And again, once you get in there, hopefully you have a chance to tweak the costume to what your preference is, and then you can just go full ham and enjoy yourself.
And as a reminder on that, make mistakes. If you heard me talk about one of my favorite cosplays, I was really frustrated about it a lot of times after I was finished, you know, when I stopped working on it, you know, when I paused, I'd be like, oh, I'm so frustrated because I had made a lot of mistakes. But sewing or making cosplay, a lot of it is making the mistakes so you know what you did wrong, so you know when you're doing a similar thing the next time, you know exactly how to approach it. And it's kind of sucks that's part of what it is, but truthfully, for me, that's the joy of it, is you're getting to learn and challenge yourself. And yes, it will be frustrating at times, but just step away if that happens and come back refreshed after you eat some food, drink some water, or have a sleep.
I feel like that kind of can be subscribed to just playing Magic 2 in general. It's not just about the costuming. It's like, it's just good life advice.
Absolutely. I mean, cosplay is something that I love, and I wouldn't want to, I mean, I do it a lot. I wouldn't say I do it in moderation. However, in the same sense that everything is good in moderation, I wouldn't want to do it in such a way where I burn myself out of it. So the same, everything in life, you know, it's always good to keep in perspective and make sure you're enjoying what you're doing at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Hopefully cosplay is one of those things, and if not, magic is, because that's why we're here.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of magic, speaking of cosplay, I think I'd be remiss not to mention the real key for this episode. Do you want to give a quick preview and shout out for what we're going to see down in Dallas for DreamHack 2022?
Absolutely. The women of She Sparks will be at DreamHack Dallas. If you don't know, tabletop magic is returning. DreamHack Dallas will have, similar to local game stores, the event where you can qualify for the regional qualifier, which is how you get on the pro tour. So there'll be that. There'll be a large 10K open. There'll be a command zone. We will be there for pictures. If you don't know about She Sparks is a group that Talia Vess and myself, Air Bubbles, and Zabrakus all formed. We are uniting marginalized gingers in gaming for a more collaborative support, safety at events, just being there for each other. So, come down to the booth if you're at DreamHack Dallas. Oh, which big deal. You know there's a discount code, right?
No, tell me more.
If you are looking at buying a badge for DreamHack Dallas, you can save 15% off your badge by using the code SHESPARKS. That's SHESPARKS with a Z at the end. So SHESPARKZ. And you'll save 15% off your badge. Then you can come to the event and say hi to us, get pictures with us. We'll have giveaways. We'll be there playing magic. We'll have other games too, all sorts of stuff.
That sounds like a really awesome time and a really awesome deal.
Yes. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody. I'm super excited that competitive tabletop magic is coming back because I am more primarily a competitive player than a commander player, even though you would not be able to tell because we've been in a pandemic.
That's totally fair, and it's really cool to see that a lot of events are coming back. I'm really stoked, and yes, I'm making this official. I will also be at DreamHack Dallas in costume. So everything the Zbex just said, well, at least I will be there by myself. I don't have a cool collective of awesome cosplayers that I'm a part of, but I will also be there to join
You're
in the fun.
basically part of it. Anybody who is playing magic or cosplay or even just wants to learn about either of those is welcome to hang out with us.
And that's going to be so cool. I cannot wait for this event. It sounds so awesome. Obviously, details are still kind of being ironed out since this is sort of a last minute thing for DreamHack and Wizards of the Coast. So hopefully we'll learn more information about that, but I am super stoked for the command zone and just any side events, if nothing else. Can't wait to draft and just talk to
Absolutely.
people. Just have fun celebrating Magic the Gathering. That's what we've all been waiting for. And I am so stoked for this event. I just can't tell you how stoked I am for this.
Me too. It'll have been 6 months since Vegas, and coming from doing events every month, I'm like hungering to get out and see you and just have a good time.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. So yeah, if for anyone out there who is interested in checking out DreamHack, I will give you the rundown here. If you can check it out at DreamHack, that is DreamHack, all one word, .com/Dallas, DALLAS, and you can take a look and see all of the different events. Obviously, DreamHack is a full esports gaming convention that Magic the Gathering is part of, so it's not just going to be Magic for 3 days. You're going to have all the competitive video gaming out there. You're going to have BYOC, your own cable LAN parties. It's going to be a really awesome time for 3 days down in Dallas. But yeah, definitely spend a lot of your time over in the Magic the Gathering section if you're there. Hope to see a lot of awesome friends of the show out there, and as well as make a whole bunch of new friends out there. So it's going to be a great time. Definitely check it out. Tickets are still available. I think they're $94 currently, list price, but if you use the checkout code, you can save 15% off your order. So definitely check that out if you have the chance to get down to Dallas for June 3rd through the 5th of this year.
Fabulous. I'm so excited.
Oh yeah, I'm excited too. It's gonna be a great time. So yeah, if the listeners out there, if you can come to Dallas, awesome. If you can't, hopefully we will meet up at another event some point soon. It's gonna be awesome, and I can't wait.
We're gonna have to get some pictures together and cosplay.
Definitely, definitely. That's really a huge part of the reason why I wanted to go is to show off the cosplay. It's awesome to have other cosplayers out there who wanna hang out. It definitely demonstrates the power of taking that leap into cosplaying, that you can make friends just by putting on a costume and looking really
Absolutely.
cool.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I think, a confidence booster. If you put on a wig as someone else, like when I put on that black-haired wig as Liliana, I get a little sassy. I get a little moody. I don't know what happens. you can be someone else. So you can, if you're an introvert and you're not usually that, who knows, maybe when you put on that costume, you'll get an alter ego.
And you'll be the center of attention, I promise. It's going to be really awesome. Give it a try, because you never know what'll happen.
Absolutely.
All right, Zbex, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been a blast having you. It's been great learning about cosplay and, you know, just hopefully helping and inspire someone out there listening to this to try cosplay out for themselves.
100%. And just remember, if you have any questions, there's tons of people out there who can help you out. You just have to ask.
For sure, for sure. Before we wrap up the episode, could you give a quick rundown of your social links again?
Absolutely. You can find me at Zbex, ZBEXX, everywhere. Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. If you want to find all of my links or anything else that I'm involved in, check out everything at zbex.art.
All right. And if you're interested in checking me out at DreamHack Dallas or just hearing any of the episodes of the MTG in Quarantine podcast, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. That's your Googles, Apple, Spotify, Radio FM, Podchaser, Overcast, Breaker, Podcast Addict, and there's so many of them, I always forget what they are. There are so many podcast outlets, but I always forget some of them. But again, if it's a major podcast outlet, you can probably find my podcast on there. You can also find me at Linktree, that's linktr.ee/MTGInQuarantine, or just on Twitter at MTGInQuarantine. I'd like to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who have supported me over at patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine. So another huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Benz, Anomaly, Draco Lucian, Neo Royal, Nick S., Infamous Fridge, Frugal Brutal, Jen of the Filthy MTG Casuals, Couch J-Ro, and Geek Beardly for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/MTGInQuarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast, where our slogan is EDH, community, now, and always. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.